everybody. Welcome back to Afros and Convos.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Convos on IG. Email us at afrosandconvos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandconvos.com. How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
That is good. Now, I said last week that we were going to be talking about Judas and the Black Messiah on Thursday, which is today, and I did not mean Thursday, which is today, because how could I mean Thursday, which is today, because it is trending combos. Okay, it's trending combos. Okay, the talk about Judas and the Black Messiah will be out on Saturday, this Saturday. All right. Okay, so again, it's time for trending combos. So who wants to go? Well, before we go, I just want to just a brief like acknowledgement of the ice storms that are going on across the nation. It's like shit, damn near 100% of the country under ice storms and all of that. I've been blessed in that I live in Atlanta and we have not been hit by any ice. It's been cold, but we have not been hit by ice storms. But I know like Texas is going through a lot right now with blackouts and, you know, loss of power and heat and electricity and all that stuff. And so like thoughts and prayers are with you guys. We hope you guys are staying safe, warm as possible. Yeah, I mean, I know y'all are going through, y'all got ice and storms and snow and all that stuff going on. So yeah.
Oh, and I will say on that note, I literally watched this guy on TikTok who had at least a 10-part video of tips from Northerners who deal with winter storms all the time to Southerners to help you like make it through this time and be more well equipped. Don't remember all the tips. There were a ton of them, but I will just say TikTok is a great resource if you're looking for ways to protect your car in this weather, if you're looking for ways to generate heat in your home because you don't have power. What were some of the other tips about? Ways to charge your electronic devices. There were a ton of great tips on there. So check out TikTok if you got it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. Who wants to go first?
Well, I might as well start since we're talking about the winter storm. That's one of my news situations here.
Go ahead.
Y'all, did y'all hear about this Texas mayor who said only the strong will survive?
Oh, yeah.
After millions lose
power. I did see that.
Yes,
right. Is this the Hunger Games?
Girl, that's what it's like in Colorado City, Texas, honey. Tim Boyd.
May the odds be in their favor.
Tim Boyd, who is now the former mayor of Colorado City because he also resigned. He said that people are looking for the local government to provide for them, and the local government owes you nothing. So,
you mean the government that I pay taxes to? That government? The government okay.
Owes you nothing. And, you know, figure it out. Only the strong will survive. That's crazy. Millions of people don't have power, and you can't step up and lead and bring solace and hope. So you get your stuff and get out, huh? But yeah, Tim Boyd.
I was talking to one of my coworkers today, and he was telling me about some ice storm that happened in, I don't know, I think Virginia or somewhere a few years ago, and they were without power for 3 weeks.
What?
3 weeks.
I was like, there's no way I could survive in my home for 3 weeks without power. No way. I was like, I would have to like put my dog in my backpack and like trek to somebody else's house. I don't know. That would not work.
Wow. So that is so long.
Absolutely. Wow. But so my prayers are going out to those people in Texas. I just pray for a quick resolution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quick. Oof. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but for them this weekend. I know it's warmer here, But I'm hoping that it's warmer there so we can have some warmer temperatures and people can get stuff fixed. Because I know there's frozen pipes and no power and all those things happening. So, y'all, we praying for y'all. Especially Colorado City, Texas. Okay, my next news is, did you guys see that Rihanna's Savage Fenty is now worth $1 billion? No. I was like, okay, get your coin, sis. I'm not mad at you. Yeah, I love to see, well, I don't know how much revenue that is for her, but, you know, I'm like, you're about to be one of those female black billionaires.
I was just about to ask that, because I know she doesn't own the beauty line. It's owned by, is it Louis Vuitton?
I think it is Louis Vuitton.
I think it is, I'm not sure.
Does she own Savage Fenty? Do
either of y'all know? I don't know. I would be interested to know, though.
Okay, while y'all looking that up, did y'all see that Lauryn Hill became the first female rapper in history to have an album sell 10 million copies?
Oh.
Yeah, she went diamond. Miss Education of Lauryn Hill is still making sales out here.
I mean, that's not surprising. It's a timeless album that is forever relevant to every generation. Yeah. Love the album.
Hands down.
I thought you, but the crazy thing is, when you say Lauryn Hill nowadays, like, I thought you was about to say something crazy.
Yep. I thought she didn't show up for something. Yep.
Exactly. Like, something catastrophic done happened. I'm like, oh, Lord, Lauryn Hill. Oh, but okay, no, it's good news. Oh, yay, we're celebrating.
Okay, y'all, and my last piece of news. This is interesting. Did you guys see Bootsy talk about Lori Harvey?
Did.
So, in summary, the thing that stood out most in his comment, where he's receiving a lot of backlash, is Lori Harvey's body count, as he mentioned, that, you know, if you shouldn't, basically, because she's a woman, we shouldn't be celebrating her. Would you want your daughter to sleep with all of these people? Says the man who talks about sleeping with multiple women in songs, in life, in tweets, in... But he has something to say.
He got a tribe, don't he?
He got 8 kids by 6 women.
A community.
Yeah. Also.
He has his own community there. And what's that? 8, 6... That's a lot of people. I'm interested to know y'all's thoughts, because a lot of people took this and they kind of went back to the Sierra and Future situation, how, you know, now she with Russell, but she, like, y'all want too much as women. Like, y'all want too much. You should be with the man, help build him up, and all this stuff. Because, you know, Sierra and Russell were on the GQ cover. Y'all didn't see that? It was real cute. They look real good. So people were making a comparison between the two, basically saying, why is it okay for men to do this in terms of Lori Harvey, but it's not okay for Lori to do that? And then why is it a problem when a woman chooses to leave the hood nigga, i.e. Future, and go to the man to cherish and love her and buy her masters?
It is a problem because of misogyny and because of how, especially within, like, the hip hop culture, how people have been conditioned to think about women. Like, he even glorified, oh, you want to glorify Lori Harvey, but you don't want to, but you want to put down the woman who stick by her man when he put her through everything.
When he put her, when he dog her out.
No, that is not to be glorified. Like, I want you to know your worth. I'm not saying that I want my daughter to be on the Lori Harvey path in life. I'm not saying that. I mean, if that's what Lori Harvey wants for herself, boo, do you. But at the same time, no, I can't say that that's what I want for my child. But I 100% know I don't want for my child for her to be holding on to some nigga that's dogging her out. And I mean, like, no, I want you to know your worth. I want you to know that you deserve better. I want you to know that you are enough on your own. So it is better for you to be by yourself, killing the game, living your best life by yourself, than is it for you to be clinging and holding on to some man just because he got a few coins or got some clout. And so you just gonna hold on because one day, hopefully he'll wife you. One day, maybe you can be Keisha Cure. No, no.
Yeah. I agree. I think it is uncomfortable for men to see women who are defending Lori Harvey and it being this one time where it's like, oh, y'all, every time she jumped from man to man, whatever, whatever. But also, she's 24, she's having fun, whatever. Y'all do this all the time. And nobody says anything. Mm-hmm. And then when
they comment, it's glorified.
It is. Huh? And then when they comment on her, it's like, girls be jumping out the woodwork being like, nigga, shut up. She just having fun. Nigga, shut up. Da 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 da. And it's like, that is very uncomfortable for them to have a situation where women are like glorifying, jumping from guy to guy and whatever, and having a good time. She's young. She's beautiful. She's having fun. Like, I don't understand what the issue. First of all, I don't understand why we constantly get in these debates over these people who don't even give a damn about what the fuck we think. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are we spending all this time having Facebook, Twitter debates and Instagram debates and TikTok videos and all this shit about these people who don't nobody give a damn about? Like, they don't care nothing about your opinion. She gonna be on her little boats with Michael B. Jordan. She gonna be in her little aquarium with her roses all over the place with her Hermes stock and everything. And don't nobody give a damn about what the hell none of y'all saying. She don't care. They don't care. It doesn't matter. She's gonna keep doing what she's doing. She gonna be broken up with Michael B. Jordan in a couple months. She's gonna be on to somebody else and it's gonna be that. Who cares?
And I would also like to say that she honestly, compared to most women in their early 20s, I would say is not that bad. The issue is that the people she is with is high profile.
Yeah,
but she's like in relationships, like at least months with one person at a time. Surely everybody know women in their early 20s who is just night after night with different people.
Sure.
She ain't even living that life. And y'all out here trying to villainize her to make her seem like she just, I mean, thotting and bopping everywhere. And I mean,
she is thotting and bopping, maybe not everywhere, but she thotting and bopping. You know what I'm saying?
That's a relative term. I think that thotting and bopping is relative to what you consider the standard to be, right? And based on the standard of the majority of regular people, she ain't even really out here thotting and bopping like that. She would two niggas a year, three. Now, surely y'all know women out here with more than three niggas a year. Come on now.
That's who she went publicly, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what people are talking about, is who she been with.
Is. But I think, I do think that is, I do know people who have done more, but I do think that is a lot. But also, like, I don't care. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with what she's doing. I don't think there's anything wrong with I don't. But I think in terms of, I do think that it is a lot.
I think it's a lot based on the standards I have for myself personally. I don't think that it is a lot based on the standards that most of the world has. I recently listened to a podcast of two guys who were in their late 20s and they were talking about, I mean, like at this phase in life, I mean, it's gonna be rare to find a girl who ain't been with at least like 25, 30 dudes at this point. Probability. And I mean, whether or not what they said was true, that's just like what they are considering to be a normal standard for a regular, average, everyday girl who is 29, 30 years old. By this point in life, you probably done been with about 25 dudes. And it's just like, if that is a perfectly normal standard, that math don't add up for the public relationships that we have seen from Lori Harvey.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I also don't think that that's true. And I think that based off of the comments that I've seen the niggas have regarding Lori Harvey and all of this, like, I don't think that niggas have an accurate gauge on what women are doing. I just don't. Like, they don't. They don't. They have no clue. They have, just like a lot of women too. You got this one anecdote of this woman who then dogged you out, and she was only after you for whatever little coin that you had, and she took it and whatever. And then all of a sudden, that's what all women do. Like, no, that's not true. It's not true. Like, there's not an accurate gauge from either side. And I mean, being a woman, yes, I am judging her based off of what my lived experiences. I do think that it's a lot, but I also don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with what she's doing. I don't think she should be at my standard, because shit, if I was at her standard, I probably would be doing what Lori Harvey doing too. If I'm on boats and I'm getting rented out aquariums and Hermes stock and all this shit too, I probably would be doing the same shit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't at her level, so I can't judge her on my level. But based off of where I'm at, I think it's a lot. But also, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with what she's doing.
You own this stock and this aquarium.
Did
you see the Valentine's Day shit, though? That's what I'm talking about.
I saw it and I was like, this is very reminiscent of Drake and Rihanna. Just saying.
You
Drake and Rihanna vibes from like 2 years ago. But, I mean, I'm mad at you, girl. Like, do you?
I didn't even think about that.
That was my first thought. It's okay.
Okay, I can go next. So this first thing is just, I mean, it's super short. I just want to know y'all's opinion on it. So Soulja Boy tweeted that he created going viral. If you ain't never cranked that Soulja Boy, you lame AF. Like, what y'all think? Do you agree with Soulja Boy's sentiment?
Did he create going viral?
That's what he said. Not. He said it. He said, put some respect on his name. He created going viral.
I don't know that you can create going viral, but I will say, I think in terms of the rap industry, I can't think of anybody who went viral before him. So if that's what he means, then maybe. Okay.
Did he go viral?
I mean, but you have to viral based on the times. Like, during that time, it was what, like YouTube and like,
Facebook. Because I was just like, was Vine out? I don't think Vine was even out.
No, Vine, I don't think was out during that time. But like, just the even to know, okay, when you think of Soulja Boy and you think of Crank That Soulja Boy, and everybody knows what that is, he was the first one to have a viral, by virality, we mean when you can go to Miami, you can go to Boston, you could go to Chicago, you could go to Nashville, you can go in Memphis, and everybody knows what the hell you talk about. That's viral. That's the level he was at.
Okay. So in that aspect, I believe he did go viral. But is he the only person that went viral?
It's like you just want to think of somebody else. Like, right, you just want to be like, nah, surely it was Soulja Boy. But, I mean,
he might be right.
I think
once the age of social media was birthed, I mean, I think it was very much so still in its infancy around that time. But considering that, I mean, he's really the first person I can think of. But, I mean, I still feel like he's not finna get credit where credit is due.
No, he ain't. No, he's not. But he did. I don't like the phrasing of what he said, but yes, he is the first rap, I guess, artist. I don't know if you call it that, but whatever he did with music.
Oh, him an artist? He had a hard time calling him an artist.
Yeah.
Girl, no. Especially when you think of all that Soulja Boy did in, like, not even his own music, but how much stuff he, like, produced and stuff for other people.
Okay. So, yeah, I think he's the first one of them people to go viral. Absolutely. There was nobody before him to do that.
Okay, so my next thing is, I'm gonna go here next. So there is a city in Mississippi. It's Natchez, Mississippi. And they will pay remote workers $6,000 to move there. Now, there are stipulations. I think you have to actually, like, buy a home. The home has to be valued at least $150,000. And but basically, they will give you $6,000 to move there. Let me read for y'all the description of Natchez, the city in Mississippi. And see if you would be willing to perhaps give it a try. Natchez is a city of Mississippi set off the Mississippi River. It's known for antebellum mansions.
No.
Like, like the unfinished octagonal Longwood and the Melrose Estate, part of the Natchez National Historical Park. Once a trade route.
Natchez no, trade. No, no, 100% no, absolutely not. Get the hell out. Not, yeah. Do not, well, not pass, so. No. Do not collect $200. No.
What's a trade? Okay.
Like, literally, as soon as I saw city in Mississippi, I was like, oh, they not paying black people to move there.
No, absolutely not.
No way. Then I Googled it, and this isn't even associated with the article. This is just their general description when you Google the city. And I saw antebellum. I was like, eh. Then when I saw trade route, I'm like, okay, yep. You mean like slave trade? No, thank you. No, thank you. You have to pay me way more than $6,000. With a population of 14,981 people,
no.
Oh, you have to pay me way more than that.
I'm good. Too good.
I was just wondering if y'all was on the same page. But, you know, if you know anybody that's looking to buy a property in backwoods Mississippi and they want a $6,000 rebate, Natchez might be the place for them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my next thing is just a little shout out.
With each home purchase.
Oh, absolutely. It's thrown in for free. Like, when I bought my house, they gave me a welcome home sign. That's the equivalent of what they're giving out over there. So my next thing is just a shout out. I just want to give a shout out to Tesla, who they hosted an exclusive HBCU recruiting event. And it was on February 17th, and it was open to students and alumni looking for opportunities with Tesla. And I specifically wanted to shout this out because I wrote a paper about this when I was in graduate school and did a whole presentation, stood up in front of my all-white class and said, did my whole research project on if accounting firms are actually serious about diversifying, they will start recruiting at HBCUs. There is this huge concentrated pools of black people readily available and looking for jobs. But then you want to go down the street to the PWI and start a whole program and initiative on how you're going to diversify.
Yeah.
Start looking for black people where they are. Hello, at HBCU. Yeah. So I'm just like, shout out to Tesla for actually saying that they want to be about diversity and then actually taking realistic steps to get there. Mm-hmm. There is this entire pool of candidates. Thank you for actually tapping into that pool to get what it is that you say that you want.
Yep. That's good.
So that's awesome. My last story is more of a conversation topic because I was a bit perplexed when I read this in the news, honey. So have y'all seen what's been going on with B. Simone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have.
So for those of you who do not know, B. Simone, is she a rapper? What's she do?
She's a comedian-ish.
Oh, she's a comedian? She don't do music in no kind of way? I thought she did some music.
I don't know her to do for music.
Oh, maybe she don't, child. I only know her from the shade room, and she was stalking the baby.
That's how I know her.
And she sells some lip gloss. Her lip gloss be cute, too. But anyway, she's some sort of content creator or something. So she posted a video a few days ago where she was, quote, unquote, manifesting. And she was talking about...
I hate that word because of her.
Right. How women have these standards for the type of man that they want, but they're not willing to basically hold themselves accountable to that same standard. You want a man, who is family oriented, but you ain't talked to your mama in a year. I think that's one of the things she said. And just all of these things. And she was just like, for herself, she made a list of this is what I want in a man. So then these are areas that I need to work on in myself so that I can attract the type of man that I want. Whew, well, baby, people was big mad when she said that. Coming at her all kind of ways. Oh, baby, you just got a man yesterday and now you want to come try to tell me how to get a man? Like, people were going in on her. And I was, and not only that, after that came out, people were going in on her. Two different women came out alleging that she plagiarized their content because they posted previews about if you want a man that's like this, then you need to do this. And so they're saying B. Simone is known for plagiarizing and she probably gonna have a book coming out and all of this content that she's talking about, this is not original. We talked about this already. Do y'all have any thoughts? Because I was confused.
Okay, so let me jump in first on the plagiarism thing. I think to say that the video was plagiarism, I think is a stretch. I mean, sure, there have been tons of videos, I'm sure, that are out there that are created that say very similar things. But when you are doing something that's very general speaking as what that, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. She didn't say nothing like profound. And then it wasn't no thoughts. Like it wasn't no thought behind the content. It was just a statement and she is providing examples. Now, if she used your exact examples and your exact time, then maybe we could have something to talk about. But if you saying, oh, I posted a video before about how women's standards too high. I mean, so did everybody else. But they because she's been under fire for actually plagiarizing before, so they probably just jumping on because B. Simone she did some manifestation book where she basically went on and copied another woman's like checklist or something and put that in her book and plagiarized it and then had this whole controversy fall. So I feel like they just like riding a plagiarist train. But in terms of what she said, I don't think there was anything wrong with it. In terms of how she said it, I feel like that's what, it's just like, I don't like the whole, I'ma talk to all of y'all and this is y'all problem as to why y'all can't find men. That's what I don't like. Like, that's not true. That's not the truth for everybody. Everybody does not have these high standards. And when you put videos out there like, that's your problem. That's why you can't find no man because you doing this, you doing that, you doing this, you doing that. That's not true of everybody. And then when you post that content out there and then of course the men are like, facts. She's speaking facts. Yes, that's exactly the problem. No, that ain't everybody's problem. That is not everybody's problem. A lot of the problem is y'all, it's not that standards need to be lowered, is that y'all need to come correct a lot of times. Uh-huh. Like, and that's part of it too. But when you have videos like that who are talking to women and saying to women, you're the problem because all of y'all act like this and y'all think this and y'all think that and blah, 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 and you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't act like this. That's not true. I have a problem with videos like that that are overgeneralizations and then saying that this is the reason why you can't get what you want. I despise videos like that. That is my only problem. Now, what she actually was saying, I don't have, like, yes, I think if you are asking somebody to be a certain type of way and you are not that way, I feel like, I mean, those are facts, but I think the presentation was a little off to me.
Okay. Well, I dislike when people try to give advice on how to get a man, especially when it comes from a man. But like people said in the comments, people, Your story and your experience is not necessarily everyone else's experience. Mm-hmm. This is what you got to do to get a man. You need to wear like this. You need to pray like this. Let me wear Sierra's prayer. Like those things, I can't vibe with. But what she was saying, I think was real. I think it's fine for you to have a list. And I also think it's fine for you to, if you're asking those things, present those things. But I too have a problem with the, this is what you need to do to get a man. Because what you need to do to get a man may be different from what she needs to do to get a man. My perspective.
Yeah. And I think that that is one of the major issues with just generalized content that is created for the masses over genuine mentorship and actually walking in relationship with people who have what you want or people who are like what you're aspiring to be, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're actually walking in relationship with people or you have some sort of mentor relationship or you are walking closely enough that someone can actually speak these things into you, then I think that it would be tailored more so to specifically what it is that you need. But because we live in this, somebody needs to hear this reality, and I'm just gonna throw this out there because, I mean, this is what y'all need to know. Then, I mean, I think that that's why the content was created in the way that it was. But also, and maybe it's because I've actually done this in my real life, but I didn't take what she was saying to be like, do this, do this, do this to get a man. I took what she was saying to mean you need to take your focus off of the man and put your focus on making yourself better. Like, you need to put your focus on being the best version of yourself that you can be. And then that will result in you attracting the type of man it is that you desire, but the priority should be being your best self. And maybe I took it that way because when I actually did it, it came from that place, right? Like, I was like, man, I'm believing for this incredible man. Okay, the type of man that I desire could have pretty much any woman that he wants, right? So the woman that he would choose, what does she look like? What is she doing? What is she bringing to the table? Do I look like that? Because if the answer is no, then I ain't ready, right? So I need to be doing these things in order to be the best woman that I can be. Not just to attract him, that will be a byproduct, but I need to do these things because I need to level up in and of myself outside of him. So, I mean,
I think you interpreted that because of, but that ain't what she meant. She did not mean work on yourself for yourself. She meant do these things so you can get a man. That, what you just did, I think that if she had said that, I think that would have been a much different video. That ain't what she said. She did not say that.
I'm like, girl, that's a beautiful interpretation.
Yes, I think that, yes, and you took some steps. You made some connections that she ain't make. She ain't make those connections.
You should redo her video.
Yeah, because that was good.
No, thank you, baby.
That was good. You should do like what they do when they do the split screen and they let her play and then you comment on it. That's what you should do.
No, no, thank you. Yeah, well, Tyrese said that he want to hire her.
Oh, God.
So, I saw that.
So that coming funny. Soon, content from Tyrese and B. Simone.
Tyrese needs to figure out his own damn life before he needs to manifest some stuff for himself. Maybe that's what he can hire her for, to help him manifest him getting back in that franchise, the Fast and the Furious franchise. Maybe that's what he can call her.
He said, "Well, he able to." That means he ain't able to right now. So you know, right
he did.
Camille,
I'm just saying.
Well, he said, he "quote unquote," as soon as I can. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that means he can't do it right now.
But Tyrese has been in hot water so many times about saying things that women should and should not be doing that was not his place to be saying. So I mean, I feel like this is something that people are not receiving well, so it makes perfect sense that Tyrese is like, yeah, let me co-sign.
Yeah, because it's coming from a woman. I see, when I said this back in 2016, y'all lit my ass on fire, but this a woman said the exact same thing. That's what he's looking for.
That's all I got.
All right, well, I wanted to quickly shout out the GOAT of all GOATs, Serena Williams. Girl, by the end of this episode recording, we should know where she lands. She is playing Naomi
Osaka in a semifinals in Australia, the Australian Open. If she wins the overall competition, it'll be her 24th Grand Slam, which means she would have tied a record for the most Grand Slam wins. Like, Serena's just like, golly. And she's wearing this cute little asymmetrical hot pink black little situation.
It's so cute, girl.
That's giving me, wait, was it Jackie doing a curtsy? They did the whole?
Yep, that's what she did. Mm-hmm. That was the inspiration. Yep.
Oh, okay, great. I saw it. Yep. I was like, oh, that's giving me those vibes.
Yep, mm-hmm. She said that was her inspiration. So, yep, for sure. So, she looking good out there and, whew, child, make me need to call. I need to get in the gym or something because, baby. That's all I got to say. All right, moving on. Well, the Free Britney movement scores their first win. Justin Timberlake has issued an apology for past indiscretions. I'm not going to read it in full, but he said that he saw y'all tagging him. And as a result of that, he wanted to respond. So this is what he says. I am deeply sorry for the times in my life where my actions contributed to the problem, where I spoke out of turn, or did not speak up for what was right. I understand that I fell short in these moments and in many others and benefited from a system that condones misogyny and racism. Now this part, okay, this part right here. I specifically want to apologize to Britney Spears and Janet Jackson both individually because I care for and respect these women and I know I failed. Moment of silence. Okay, moment over. At no point did he actually apologize to Janet and Britney, but that's neither here nor there. He said he wanted to, so maybe he called them. I don't know. But yeah, I just want to say, you know, I guess step in the right direction. You know, we talked about this a little bit last time about just like, you know, how he kind of kicked off his solo career in basically tearing Britney down a little bit. And, you know, I think these are some positive steps. But again, we'll see what actions, you know, young Timberlake takes. So we'll see. Did y'all see that? What y'all thoughts on that?
I did see it. And honestly, I didn't even read the apology. I just saw multiple posts about the headlines of him apologizing and, you know, this whole movement being the catalyst for that. And my thought was, I am ready for some celebrity or figure or someone to say, you know what? Aside from a public outcry, I have done a self-assessment of my life and I realize that I went wrong in this way, that way, and this way. And I would like to offer a genuine and heartfelt apology to this person, that person, or this institution, or these people, or whatever, because these are the wrongs that I have done and I'm genuinely sorry. It don't take people threatening to cancel me and it don't take like me trending on Twitter for bad things. It don't take none of that. It just takes me being introspective enough to say, man, I was wrong and I'm willing to admit that. I was wrong publicly, so I'm willing to admit that publicly and apologize publicly. I'm ready for that. So when I saw that he was apologizing, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, here we go again. Public outcry, and now you want to say something, but okay. I mean, I'm over it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't genuine. You did this so because people tagged you and you still want to sell albums. You still want to be respected. So let me make sure I shout out Britney and Janet. Let them know I'm sorry. And hope y'all see me in 2022 on concert. Love y'all. It wasn't genuine at all. So
yeah, and then
to see if that happens.
Yeah, I would be interested in that too, because also he goes on to like criticize the industry and like, yes, the industry is a problem, but you directly played a role in that. We're not talking about the industry. We're talking about you and what you did. The industry did not cause you to go on whoever radio show. I feel like it was Howard Stern, probably was Howard Stern, to say that you slept with Britney. The industry didn't tell you to do that. You did that, right? So like, we're not talking about the industry. So I feel like, even in the apology, it's like a little bit of deflection going on. And it's just, I don't know. It's, and also I will say a frustrating thing about this is that, you know, while the apology is fine, whatever, whatever, but like, Justin has been edited and mentioned and, you know, all of that every Super Bowl, basically, to be like, remember Janet, basically, especially, and you know, it was like rampant when he did his performance back in, when did he perform, like 2015, 16, somewhere around in that time, when, whenever like the Mirrors album came out, and that song, when the Can't Fight the Feeling, that song, when that song came out, when he did the Super Bowl, you know, it was, he was all being mentioned on social media about what happened with Janet, and he never, never apologized. But this little documentary comes out on Hulu, FX, whatever, and the little white girl got all these hashtags going, and now you want to apologize. And oh, let me throw in Janet Jackson in here too, and I'm gonna apologize to her too, but you didn't apologize to neither one of them, but it's fine, whatever. But I will say, when I went to find this on his Instagram, that's the last post that he posted on his Instagram. The next to last post that he posted is a video with Tom Brady, so I just hate him even more. Just really dislike
it. Oh yeah, they were playing football or whatever.
They were playing football. Yep, he threw, and it was like a congratulatory post for him winning again. Whatever. I despise that man. But anyway, moving on. So, you know, we've talked about The Bachelor. We talked about Bachelor Matt, and his boring ass season. you know, we've talked a little bit about the struggle of watching it, but he's a Black bachelor, so we gotta watch it. And of course, why would we expect any different? That, you know, we have a black bachelor. Why would we not expect that to, you know, stir up some racism? Of course, it's gonna happen. So, you know, there's been a little bit of controversy of late. Apparently the apparent front runner, you know, she dabbled in a little stuff on social media. She done spread some QAnon stuff, and you know, she done liked some photos with Confederate flags in the background. Her little besties were standing in front of and posing in front of a Confederate flag just hanging on the wall in the background, and she said like, she double tapped that
one. Where's she from?
I don't know where she from. I'm assuming somewhere in the South, because, you know, because the next thing was, the biggest hit that she took was, her name is Rachel, by the way. The biggest hit that she took was for a picture that was posted of her at a sorority party. And it's a plantation themed sorority party where they are in these antebellum looking dresses on this plantation field or whatever. And, you know, they just pose in like smiles, like there's nothing wrong with it. Plantation theme. Since they was in, like, literally, okay, yes, you can go to a plantation and have, like, you know, plantations host weddings and stuff like that, all this stuff. But they were in antebellum dresses. So, like, they played up the theme. You get what I'm saying? So
she's from Cumming, Georgia, just FYI.
Oh, I did know that. Yes, she from around the corner, around the way. So she posted, that's the thing that's getting the most controversy, was that picture that she posed in. So it's been like all circulated on Twitter, as always happens. Anytime that there is a front runner on The Bachelor, people dig up old tweets and they post it and try to get them canceled. They end up having a conversation on After the Final Rose. I've been through this. I watch the show all the time, so I've been through this. I know it happens. But this one has been interesting because former Bachelorette and first Black star of the show, Rachel Lindsay, who has been very vocal about issues within the Bachelor franchise, came out and brought the controversy to the forefront. She has a spot on E! News or one of those shows that's on TV about entertainment. Entertainment Tonight, maybe?
Access Hollywood or ET is one of those.
Yeah, so Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, or E! News, one of them, she has a spot on. It might be Access Hollywood. I feel like that sounds right. But anyway, she had the spot where she was talking about it, and she had Chris Harrison, who is the host, who's been the host since day one on this show, come on and talk about the controversy. Well, Chris Harrison said, Rachel, was it not a good look in 2018, or is it not a good look in 2021? Where we're looking at it with this basically lens of 2021, when all this racial unreckoning is happening and you're judging 2018 actions in 2021. I would like to draw attention to the fact that 2018 was not that long ago. So it was wrong then, it's wrong now. And then he also invoked the word or the phrase, the woke police. The woke police come around and they try to cancel these people, and, you know, for silly mistakes. And he said something like, she wasn't the only one in 2018 going and attending these plantation themed sororities. This happened all the time, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's saying that ain't true, Chris, but that don't make it right, because everybody doing it don't make it right. What you talking about? So Chris Harrison issued an apology, basically saying that what he said harmed people's feelings, blah, 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 whatever. I really didn't care about his apology. The Bachelor contestant, Rachel, who is not Rachel, so it's two Rachels in this. Rachel is the front runner on The Bachelor. She issued an apology for her photos and statements and liking photos, and basically said that, you know, she's sorry, she was ignorant, but in her ignorance, she was racist, and she recognizes that. She also said that, you know, what'd she say? She said, I told Drea this earlier. It was one of the most thoughtful and well put together apologies from a public figure that I had ever heard. She said, like, I don't expect one apology to result in my forgiveness. Like, I expect my actions to result in forgiveness, whatever she said. But it was very well thought out, very well put together. She probably got a really good PR team behind her crafting that mess, because it was really good. But Chris Harrison done messed up the bag. He done messed up the Bachelor bag. Do you hear me?
He done fumbled the bag.
Chris Harrison has stepped away from the Bachelor franchise. It says for now, but we'll see. That man, like, how you do that, man? How you do that? And that is, in and of itself, that whole transaction is just like the epitome of privilege. You can't even bite your tongue to protect your bag. You got to say something. You got to defend this white lady who did something that was inherently, that she admits was racist. Mm-hmm. You got to say something. Mm-mm. That man was making, averaged out, I don't know what in each franchise, averaged out $200,000 an episode and appearance. He messed that bag up. Child. I don't know. I don't know. But I will say that I think The Bachelor is on his way out. What, y'all think The Bachelor is on his way out?
I don't know. I think that's a very strong claim. When you think about how big that franchise is, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, like the podcast that they have, like,
oh, all, yeah, they of do the have content, like
the revenue that generates, I honestly don't think it's on its last leg. And I think that they will fight hard to find a rebound from this before they just fade to black. No.
As in Rachel Lindsay being the host from here on out.
There's been some
strong calls for her to host it. Strong calls for her to host it.
Oh, and she's currently on Extra.
Extra. Out of my list, I didn't even name that one. Yes, it was Extra.
Yeah. Honestly, personally, I want more for Rachel Lindsay than being the host of the Bachelor franchise. Honestly, I do. Like, because when you think about what Chris Harrison really does, and I just don't see her doing that, because I think one way that people rely on him, or that they portray contestants to rely on him, is like kind of like this voice of reason, this source of wisdom. He's this person you can kind of go to. He's been here since the beginning. He knows how this works. He's been married since forever. Like, I can trust his opinion. I just don't see that torch being handed to Rachel Lindsay. And also, I don't really see her wanting to do that, wanting to be the face, the consistent face through multiple seasons of the Bachelor franchise.
If that bag right, I think she should do it. You know what I'm saying? Now, she might not pull $200,000 an episode right now, but
no way.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't. But she's loved. And even with her calling out this franchise the way that she's been calling it out, she's been loved. And people, and I feel like, I don't know, it's one of them things where I think it can pull and open up a completely different audience for the Bachelor franchise than currently exists, and then still keep your current audience, because she's not, hey, like, I don't think it would be a dumb move for the Bachelor franchise to get her. Now, I agree. You know, I want more for her too. But you know, she got some other things going. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't think this would be a step down necessarily.
No lie, I think taking on the Bachelor franchise, like doing all three shows, I think that's a step up from being whatever she doing on Extra. We couldn't even remember the name of the show. Like, not gonna lie, when I read that she was going to Extra, that we talked about this on a previous podcast, I felt like she should have done The Real over doing Extra.
Oh, yeah, because they were considering, like, she was on whatever list. They were
considering her to be a replacement host for Amanda Seals and Tamara Moore Housley for The Real. So I would definitely say this is absolutely way more mainstream than what she's doing now. But I mean, so I guess maybe if she looks at it as a stepping stone, maybe it might be
a means to an end. A means to an end. That's what I learned in my coaching session today. Camille, you got thoughts? What you think?
Girl, I don't think the Bachelor is gonna end. And I think Chris coming back. I think he's coming back. The cast is going to be a little more colored to help compensate for what he said. And the Bachelor will live on. The Bachelor franchise will live on, my opinion. And then you said this, but I don't know. I don't know if she'll keep the same audience. I don't know if Rachel came and took the place of old boy, that they will have the same audience. Or the same feel, or the same vibe. Now, for her,
no, they definitely wouldn't have the same vibe. I don't think that. But I don't think she would lose. Well, I'll say the core people, the people who be, because it is a thing to have like Bachelor watch parties, like, and they'd be young. What you say?
Brackets.
Like, yeah, brackets. Bachelor brackets. People are really take. I don't think putting her in that role that she would lose those people, the core Bachelor Nation, because Bachelor Nation actually likes her. Now you got them older people who be watching. Now they might be a little shook, you know, they might be a little shook and they might leave, but you gonna replace them with so many black people. Like, look at the number. But I can name on my hand right now. No, I need more than two hands to name the amount of black people who have never watched The Bachelor or who don't watch it regularly, who are watching it currently because Matt is on. And Matt, absolutely, hands down, has the worst season I have seen. I have never seen a season worse than what Matt is doing right now. And people are literally watching and struggling through it because he is on there. I cannot imagine if you put Rachel Liz. Now, I don't think it would last as long as it, unless they keep getting black leads. Like, you might lose people if it's only Rachel as the draw. But I think initially you'll have a bump to replace the old people who don't want to see a little black wench up there hosting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because Rachel Lindsay's season was the first season I watched through in a very long time. Like, I had given, when they was, I watched like the early seasons, then when everybody was breaking up before the season could be air, I was like, no, I'm not even wasting my time on this. But then when I was like, oh, all right. a black girl coming up here and be the bachelorette. So I watched it beginning to end, every episode, every, well, I ain't watched the after the rose. I don't watch those. But oh, I do. We know Cookie here for all the drama. But, be good. Yeah. So I definitely think that she would have a draw of a different audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got. Any final thoughts?
Stay warm and safe.
Yeah, stay warm, stay safe. Stay don't in take the no house.
Exactly. Yes. Don't take no unnecessary risks. Like, if you don't absolutely need it, stay at home.
Lord, please. All right, that is it. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.